Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Naked Flea Circus.
Well, I'm not naked, am I? But you are.
From the top up.
So, yes, you are naked. Is there any reason why you're naked, Cliff?
Oh, hang on. Something's happened. The microphone.
Oh, no.
Not again.
Perhaps it's the spider web of hairs, chest hairs, that have become entangled. Right. You think? It's been a right old day today, hasn't it?
This has been a shocking day. This is probably going to be the most shambolic podcast we've ever done.
For a start,
I'm at least topless, which has thrown Brett somewhat.
It's thrown us, yeah. So does that mean that you're well-oiled because do you get naked when you have a drink, Cliff?
Like I've said before, if there's a chance to be horizontal, I'll be horizontal. If there's a chance to be naked, I'll be naked. It's good, same kind of rules.
Yeah, I think they're good rules to live by, aren't they?
I think I've spent almost 2 years now putting clothes on for this podcast for your sake, and I've had enough of it.
It's about time you just spread your wings and just be yourself, isn't it, Cliff?
Spread me wings. I'm spreading everything tonight.
Don't spread everything, just your wings.
That's all you need to spread. Not only has my appearance thrown Brett, but the fact he's had to do a full day of graft has thrown him as well. The first time for a long time that's happened.
I'm absolutely shattered. That's a bit harsh, but I'll give you it.
I'm sorry, I have been a bit harsh. It's easy to poke fun at for no reason really. But
I'm an easy target, aren't
you? You are an easy target. Yeah, I mean, look like I am now.
I'm sure you're the only naked person in Dubai.
Would you like to see how naked?
That is quite naked.
I'm
surprised you didn't flap in front of the microphone.
I think I shouldn't have gone to the pub straight from work tonight.
you see, that is a mistake, isn't it? Going straight to the pub. So what are you drinking now? Are you drinking... Is it just water?
No, it is soda water. So it's what? That's water with bubbles in, Brett. And a Korean fortified wine just poured into that.
Nice.
There's also a whiskey.
What a concoction. you've gone all out, haven't you?
I've gone all out for you, Brett.
2% alcohol. But I have got a cobra. Yeah, literally. But I've got a cobra over here.
Okay, well, that's nice. The drink? From Sherlock Holmes.
I always like to keep a snake at a distance, a safe distance.
Not touch tight.
That's all I like to do. I've got a couple of questions for you actually to start off with before I
fire away
and all that. This is from Points of View from 1987. These are the letters, that people have wrote in, because those people obviously are top people who write in the Points of View, who find the time to complain about various things. On the telly.
Just things on the
write
telly.
Write letters to the telly.
About things on the telly.
About the telly. So let's see if you can guess.
Are you doing the Esther Ransom voice?
No, I'll do the teeth.
Will you do the dog?
Will I do the dog?
The skateboard. No,
I've told you I don't do that anymore. Right. So this is the first letter. I have considered selling the telly, leaving the country, and even suicide. Every time I pass the television shop in the high street, I suddenly devolve into a hysterical laugh.
What?
What do you think he's talking about?
What?
I know.
Does he own a telly? He's thinking of selling it.
There you go.
Because when he goes in past the shop, he doesn't like it.
So he's talking about someone on the telly because it's points of view,
yeah.
Right? You're getting mixed up with the other one with Esther Ransom. It's not that one. Your Life or whatever. What's that called?
Is it not the Hearts of Gold Award?
It's not the Hearts of Gold. It's not that. Something else. But you're getting mixed up. This is the one where people write in to complain about stuff on the telly.
It's right? My Life that...
Yeah, it's that. So what do you think that person's talking about? Louis, have a guess.
The Kenny Everett Show.
Right, you're wrong. Let's see if we can get it from the second point of view letter.
Okay.
Thank you for all the splendid coverage of my favourite indoor relaxation.
Is it the balls?
It's not the balls.
It's outdoor, isn't
but
it?
You're very, very close with the balls. Can't have another guess until I read out the other one. Okay. You said you can't have another guess.
Okay, I'll stop.
I've already read that one. Do you realise that I loathe the very mention of this game? So it's a game, isn't it?
A game.
Not balls. But it's a little bit like balls.
Okay, I'm going to say darts.
Well, it's not. It's snooker.
Oh, so okay. It is a bit like balls, isn't it? Apart from you use a stick to hit the balls instead of throwing them.
That was worth those people writing letters in to complain about the snooker being on.
I still don't understand the first guy.
Who's considered suicide because it's on. Uh-huh. He also walks past shops where it's on and laughs hysterically.
I mean, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, and he's also considered leaving the country. What if he leaves the country, right? And then they've got the snooker on, and he also walks past the television shop, and they've got the snooker on in that television shop, even though it's Scotland. So there you go. I'll pick another one for you next week.
Oh, is that it? Okay, I like that. Okay,
that's it. That is it.
You know what, Brett? You've been at work today. I've been at work all week. It's been very busy. I haven't really had much chance to do out else. What about you?
Just been watching Game of Thrones with the Ben. He's thoroughly enjoying it.
Okay, that's good.
Oh,
I have watched. There's a new Paul McCartney documentary on Hulu, which I think it might be on Disney Plus in England, called McCartney 3-2-1. He's got a
3-2-1.
He's got a song.
Ted Rogers.
Yeah.
Dusty Bin with Dusty God, Bin.
He's him and Dusty Bin, and they're just solving they're solving riddles. That's
right. Impossible riddles as well.
Yeah, of course. It's McCartney and the record producer Rick Rubin. It's black and white. It's very stylish, and it's 6 30-minute episodes, just of them like listening to Beatles songs while McCartney sings along a bit.
Well, they wouldn't work.
He's just like singing along and going, Ringo's good on that, isn't he? And that's about it for like 6 episodes. It's brilliant.
Nice. It sounds good. Sounds good. Paul McCartney's gone down in my estimation anyway. He keeps mentioning Kanye West, doesn't he?
I know, because he let him do that song.
Keeps talking about him.
And he goes, it's one of his new like stories, isn't it? Because he's got his stories, and his new one is, and I was playing along for about an hour, just jamming away, and then I heard the song, and I thought he hasn't bloody put me on it, and then he said, "That's you in the background, Paul," and I couldn't even bloody tell. That's it.
Yeah, it's his new mate. It's like. Sidetrack them. He's put him to the in the background, and Brett, he's Paul McCartney.
Have you ever listened to that song?
No,
Nope, me neither.
I don't think I've ever listened to any of Kanye West's songs. I haven't.
I've listened to some. I don't mind all of them, but yeah, like I'm not listening to that.
I'm not listening to it. It's not my cup of tea, that fella.
Well, that's about it. That's all I've done really, other than work. I played football last night. It was the Champions League for our league.
Oh.
We won the league, so we were up against the champions of the other ones. And we got knocked out in the semi-final, which was a little bit sad, but it was all right.
That's unfortunate. Were you playing against any famous ex-footballers in this Champions League?
No.
No.
No, not this time. The first team was against a lot of Italians. We beat them quite comprehensively in the second team. Brett, I regret to inform you, was against some younger men who were just fitter and faster than us. By quite a while.
Surely the younger men shouldn't be allowed. They shouldn't be allowed to play, shouldn't they? That's not on. You're 40 fast. Now, aren't you? Should be in the, they're very fast. Very fat and very fit, these boys, aren't they? Yeah. You should have just kicked the football at them, Cliff, and gone in your rage.
Well, no, I still haven't quite lived that one down, so I'm not doing that again. Anyway, today we were meant to have our good mate Davey on. But he's been struck down with a terrible flu, which is not COVID, apparently. But I hope it's not, and I hope he's all right. But what he has done has left us in a bit of a pickle, because we were going to talk with him about the Smiths album, Strange Ways Here We Come, which is, he's a huge Smiths fan, so he said we're getting back on to talk about the Smiths. And what's happened is, we haven't really got anything else to talk about. So we're still going to talk about the Smiths album, Strange Ways Here We Come, but without the man who really likes it joining us. So I've got opinions. I've got some things written down. And even if this bit doesn't work out, Brett, I promise you, I've got a fantastic quiz for you afterwards.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it's a true or false quiz, because obviously that was the best one you've ever done.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is.
So let's hope so.
It is.
You have to hope. Well, there you go. That's good.
It's kind of a true or false quiz.
Well, that's good. Well, kind of, yeah. All right. Okay. But yeah, we're going to talk about the Smiths.
More of a yes or no.
I hope Davey's all right. And he recovers from the shits, obviously.
So yes, the Smiths, what we're not going to do is talk about Morrissey, the adult, now, because it's a minefield.
No,
and I think we can all agree, we don't necessarily agree with his views or the views he pretends to have to get coverage in magazines. So
yeah, that's the impression I get.
So what we are going to talk about is the Smiths. We are big fans of the Smiths. But obviously not as big as Davey is, who absolutely loves them. So we're probably going to have a bit more of an exploratory conversation about them, I would say.
Yes.
I like the Smiths, Brett. What about you?
I do like the Smiths as well. Initially, I think as a kid, when you put me onto them, I was a bit taken aback by his voice, I think.
Yeah.
Which I think it's just a natural reaction when you first hear it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But you soon kind of warm to it and stuff like that and get used to his voice. I think he's got a good voice anyway. It's just different. Mm-hmm. But I think that the main takeaway from it is just how witty he is.
Yeah.
Because the songs are so funny. And there's a couple on here.
Yeah.
Which are mint.
I agree. And I think it's one of those kind of, it's not really a misconception, but it's not unfounded that they're miserable. Because if you look at the titles of songs and you hear the chorus of songs without really listening to them, then yeah, they are. But it's normally him taking the piss. And I think what people can't get their head around is that doesn't, if you see him now, he doesn't seem like a man capable of taking the piss out of himself. But I think in the Smiths, he was. And also, I think in the Smiths, it's much more forgivable because you've got Johnny Marr next to him, who elevates absolutely everything, I think, into just the brilliance exists in the two of them together, which I think is, they're not alone in a band.
Definitely like does. That.
But that's that alchemy comes together because the two of them just work together. They met each other in that point. They got on and tastes and everything fused, like all the great partnerships, Lennon McCartney, Brett and Cliff, Jagger and Richards. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you say. I know what you say. I think you're right, yeah. I mean, Johnny Marr's class, isn't he? Absolutely class. Yeah. He's just a wonderful guitarist. He's a fantastic musician, stuff like that as well. But they've got a strange setup, haven't they, where they write the music, because Johnny Marr does all the music and then Morrissey kind of just comes in and writes the lyrics over the top, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and
yeah, so yeah.
What I was reading about them is that he would, where Johnny Marr thought the chorus was, that's where Morrissey would put the bridge or something like that, or the verse. He'd mix it all up. So it's like, it's an interesting way of working.
And I think that keeps the song interesting.
Does, uh-huh, it is. But I mean, some of the songs are just absolutely fantastic. And there's a load on here which are really good. A couple I'd forgotten about as well, like Unhappy Birthday.
Absolutely. And I think, basically, we're talking about the last album, Strange Ways Here We Come, from 1987. I've always really, really liked this album, and I think it's an album that I, in my mind, I prefer over certainly the first album, which I think is terrible. Queen is Dead, and the Meets Murders, something like that.
The Meeting of Murders.
I think they're produced really badly, those ones. They don't sound great. I think the songs are excellent. I actually prefer Meters Murder, other than the song Meters Murder. I think I prefer that album to The Queen is Dead. I absolutely understand why The Queen is Dead is a classic. But I think the production on Meters Murder and the first one is awful. And it makes some excellent songs sound bad, and also Morrissey's voice gets better the longer the Smiths are in existence. So in this, I think what we've got is a great combination of Morrissey's voice sounding better than ever before, and Johnny Marr pushing the boundaries of what he does with his songs more. It's not just guitar, bass, drums, and Morrissey singing over the top.
He's just an interesting guitarist, I think, isn't he? More, I mean, like How Soon Is Now and stuff like that, how he got the sound off that. And it's like, no, who would think of doing stuff like that? It's just him. I really like that song. I love the sound of that guitar.
Of course.
I didn't even know what he's doing.
I totally agree. And I get that. Just it's like 6 minutes of same thing.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I don't think it's got any of the witticisms in it with Morrissey. I think that's it.
Johnny Marr, I read his book a couple of years ago when it came out, and I've the Big Smiths book as well that came out a long time ago, where you find a bit more out about them and stuff. And Johnny Marr essentially, his biggest inspiration is Nile Rodgers. So, and you might not think about it because the Smiths are like the most indie band of indie bands, aren't they? They're probably, Pulp probably are the only ones that kind of fit that, like what your idea of an indie band is after these. So you think of that sound as being this kind of fair indie, jangly stuff, which is what you wanted to get away from on this. But actually, if you listen to their live albums, it is like funk. It is like Nile Rodgers. There's loads of wah-wah and loads of these kind of choppy chords and all of this stuff. It's not just jangly. And when you listen to that and then listen to the songs back again, you can hear it a bit more. And you can hear that actually that's probably another thing that makes them really interesting, is that it's not just these like three or four chords like, you know, a jangly singer-songwriter would play.
Yeah.
He is playing a different kind of music to a kind of indie song.
But there's also some great riffs in it and stuff like that, isn't there? Mm-hmm. At the start of This Charming Man, what a riff to start with. It's absolutely class. It's Noel Gallagher's hero, isn't it?
Johnny Marr and stuff like that.
He's gonna, to work with Hans Zimmer and people like, oh, you're putting your clothes on. Thank God. Yeah, so he's like worked with recently, more recently, sort of Hans Zimmer and stuff like that on the soundtrack albums and the Batman ones and Inception and stuff like that, which I love. And his guitar on that's absolutely fantastic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's obviously seen as any well because he is an absolutely brilliant guitarist. Do you know what I mean? And he's like revered by musicians, isn't he? Not just Noel Gallagher or whatever. But also like Chrissie Hynde and Hans Zimmer,
yeah, well, it's
people like that.
In terms of Noel Gallagher worshiping them, I think they're very different guitarists, and I don't think Noel Gallagher is anywhere near the guitar like guitar skills and musicianship of Johnny Marr as much as I love him. But then you've got after this, he wanted to push boundaries, which I think he felt constrained with the Smiths or the idea of the Smiths. And obviously, his relationship with Morrissey was deteriorating. I mean, God knows how he lasted as long as he did. But, he joined the Pretenders. He was in Talking Heads for a bit. He was in Modest Mouse, American What's indie band for a bit. What's he doing? He's in all of this stuff. Like, he's joining these little indie bands. He's pushing his own boundaries, I think. But one thing with Johnny Marr is, once you know he's in there, you can't not hear Johnny Marr in any of those bands or songs that he's in.
Yeah, definitely. You can hear him, can't you? Because he's got it's his own style, isn't it? I mean, like Nile Rodgers, I guess, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know when it's Nile Rodgers, don't you? You know it.
Exactly. So he's taken what he did and made it. He's like an indie Nile Rodgers. He's got his own style. So you can tell it. And I think on this, he's pushing those boundaries. He's not just doing jangly guitar. There's synths on there. There's different.
Like electric pianos and that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Loads of electric pianos.
Yeah. And I think that's why I kind of prefer this album, because it pushes it a bit and the songs are a bit more interesting in some ways. Maybe not all as catchy, but not all the big hits. But I think the songs and the sonic landscape of this album from start to finish is a little bit more interesting than some of the other stuff that they did. So it came out in 1987.
I was just going to say
it came out in 1987. They recorded it in April and May over about 4 weeks. Came out in September. By the time it came out, Johnny Marr had already left. And I think after they finished recording the album, they went back in the studio to do a couple of B-sides, and that was it. That was the end of Smiths. By the time it was released, there were no more. But obviously,
it's unfortunate. But the thing is, though, if Morrissey's making you cover Cilla Black songs and stuff like that for B-sides, what are you going to do? Do you know what I mean? I think that's one of the reasons why he left, didn't he?
Morrissey, man.
Pissed off all
this.
I'm not doing that.
I can join Talking Heads.
See, what is it, Jack? Chrissie Hynde just being on the phone, man. You want us to do friggin' Still on Black songs? We can't. No chance. But I also read that Johnny Marr wanted this album to sound like the White Album, or at least he was influenced by the White Album and stuff like that.
I don't really
get
that a lot.
So, maybe the first track, I think it's a bit.
Yeah, I think what I think is maybe is a very obscure reference, but you know, on Long, 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 where they just have that wine glass reverberating at the end for ages.
Yeah,
I think it's that kind of thing that maybe he's on this, like he's not that bothered. It's more about experimenting with the sounds.
He's experimenting with stuff.
The sounds that go around the songs rather than the songs themselves. And I think the beginning of the album, certainly. And then, my favourite song on the album is probably Last Night I Dreamt Somebody Loved Me, I think is probably my favourite song on the album. And again, it's unusual. It's not a pop song. It's like these huge crashing chords and this ominous sound for ages before the song comes in. And I think it's maybe that kind of stuff that he's been influenced by from the White Album. In my opinion.
Yeah, I like a lot of the songs on this album, actually, which, you know, we've discussed loads of different albums recently, haven't we, and stuff like that. And it's a difficult thing for them to get, you know, an album out that, you know, people are like quite a lot of the songs. This one I do. I especially like Death of a Disco Dancer. Maybe because Morrissey does a mulligan O'Hare. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. I think that song, again, it's like a 6-minute song that starts as one thing and builds into this big crescendo. It's mm-hmm. It goes through quite a lot of different sounds, I think. Like it's got this very kind of spidery guitar work from Johnny Marr at the beginning, this kind of Pearson guitar motif that builds and builds. It sounds, then there's some chords that are a bit like David Bowie kind of Life on Mars kind of sound to it, I think. Very 60s orchestral bit, like, which I guess is Morrissey's influences. And then it builds.
Then he goes. Which elevates it. Almost complete genius.
Forget anything else that's happening. that's all.
I'm sure, because Vic and Bob, I mean, they're massive Smith fans, I think, aren't they? On Big Night Out, there was always Smith songs that would come out there and stuff.
Yeah, obviously they had Morrissey the Consumer Monkey.
Morrissey the Consumer Monkey, exactly.
One of my favourite ever Vic Reeves things is his mouth.
Yeah.
That's a little balloon popping out of a hole and the teeth, like, kind of flap around.
Yeah, that's it. And it's there's a little balloon in its mouth or whatever.
What's his voice like again? It's Bob,
isn't it? Give us a kiss.
What is it? Is there like...
Oh, Mr. Vic!
There's a watch review, isn't there? I think there's something about watches that I absolutely love, but I can't remember the specifics now.
Yeah.
I think he's reviewing some watches or something, but yeah. You know what? That's probably the first time I heard the name Morrissey.
Me as well. It's a little bit before our time, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like you know, when you start getting into music when you're a teenager, and it would have been you who said, "Oh, I've listened to the Smiths and stuff." And I'm sure How Soon Is Now was the first track that you made us listen to. I think strangely enough, like you don't particularly like it.
I don't particularly like it now, but I think it probably would have been because it sounds like nothing else. So the first time you hear that, you're like, what the fuck's going on here? It's this big wall of noise from this guitar just building and building and building while this guy wails about whatever's going on. I've never heard anything like it. I think what got me into this
I am the sun.
Yeah, and the lyrics and the air. Oh, what? And the sun
and
the air.
It's a bit Jim Morrison, really, isn't it?
And that bit is. I really think it is. And Morrissey would probably hate being likened to Jim Morrison because he's too obvious. Yeah. But I think he has copied Jim Morrison on that bit.
I think so.
I think probably the first time I really got into Smiths, and this is quite, you know, the anniversary's come around, was when Oasis played Nebworth. It was a huge deal, right, when Oasis played Nebworth, and it was broadcast live on Radio 1, and I recorded it. So the gig I had on these two sides of a tape, I taped it off the radio, but before the gig, there was an interview, and it was Steve Lamacq and Joe Wiley, talking to Noel Gallagher about his influences, and he said... What Difference Does It Make was the first song he heard that made him want to play lead guitar or something like that. And they played it. I never heard that song before. I think I'd heard This Charming Man because it would have been on some like best of indie of all time or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that. And then I heard that song and that riff, which is obviously what got Noel Gallagher to prick his ears up. That riff, I was like, oh, what the fuck's this? And that, it had a bit of a harder edge, I think. And I always thought This Charming Man was very, like, whimsical or whatever. And that sounded a lot harder. And kind of got into it a bit more because of that. And I think then, like most things, went to the library and got a best of CD and all of that.
Yeah, you get the greatest hits out of it, right?
And, you know, the best of the Smiths is about as good a best of as you're ever going to get, I think.
It's absolutely class. I mean, this one, we were driving to Newcastle and I had this on CD, but it was from this cheap CD shop where you didn't have the cover. So you just had the CD in a plastic sort of sleeve or whatever. So I didn't know particularly which album it was or anything like that. And we just put it on and it was Jack's birthday. who were driving to Newcastle to buy something for Jack. Mm-hmm. And Unhappy Birthday came on. And we just played it about five times in a row.
What did Jack think?
Because he loved it. I mean, it's like kind of like Jack's sense of humor, I guess. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's so funny, that song. I wish you an unhappy birthday or whatever. And he's talking about somebody who's jealous of. He's going to the birthday party, but yeah, he's jealous of them.
Yeah.
He wishes them an unhappy birthday and he hopes they die.
And he'd be slightly sad.
Slightly sad. Those are the funny bits, aren't they?
Yeah, which again, like I think that's a very Vic Reeves like kind of line, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I think one of the things with this album is, as much as Mars pushing the boundaries of the sounds he makes with his guitar and other instruments, I think Morrissey's his voice is better than on any other album, I think, for me. But also his lyrics are, he's just playing with the idea of what people think about him a lot. And mm-hmm, I think he's taking the piss out of himself and out of the idea of Morrissey a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I started something I couldn't finish. It's typically me and all of that. It's like, you kind of get that sense. Also on the first song, mm-hmm, A Rush and A Push and The Land Is Ours, which is to do with the England over, like taking over Ireland and stuff like that. Listen to it now, knowing Morrissey's proclivities. It sounds a little bit racist.
Well, you can blame Oscar Wilde's mother for that, because
I know it, and I know it, and I know, like, he's obviously Irish. His family are Irish, came to England, and if you read kind of biographies about him and stuff, this kind of, and same with Johnny Marr. Johnny Marr's, the spelling of his name is not M-A-R-R, really. He changed his name. It's M-A-H-R, like the guy from Buzzcocks, I think it's called that. There's a lot about, and I guess in the Northwest, it's closer. So there's a lot of Irish and being forced out of Ireland and the UK and England, you know, imposing.
Yeah, it's like Liverpool and Manchester, isn't it? I mean, even the Gallaghers, isn't it?
Exactly.
Their mother's Irish, so.
So I think that song's about that, but taken now, doesn't seem to have, it has different connotations, I think. But anyway, that's the first song.
Yeah, which is a shame, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's one of the things, like, it's one of those where you're like, oh, I don't want to listen to Morrissey or whatever, but the Smiths are great. I'll always listen to the Smiths. I like about 10 Morrissey solo songs, and I think those songs are fantastic. I've never bought a Morrissey solo album. I don't think I might have bought a Morrissey best of for $2.99 somewhere. So I'm all right listening to the songs that I like. I don't think anybody's buying the new ones when they come out. You know, his audience is disappearing fairly quickly, I would say. But the beginning of this album with that, it's this kind of the sound effects and stuff like that before the song comes in, I think are fantastic. And then it goes into I Started Something I Couldn't Finish, which is like a massive glam rock riff from Johnny Rock. Johnny Marr. Johnny Rock.
Chris Rock's brother.
Can I call myself Johnny Rock from now on?
Of course you can.
Yes,
of
good. Course Thank
you
can.
Can you also make up a cool name for me, though, please?
Well, let's just see what I get wrong for the next few songs.
Okay. We'll call you. Okay, Johnny. No bother.
So, yeah, I think, like, you know, they're two great songs to start off with. And then it goes into Death of a Disco Dancer, which is this, again, kind of epic. I don't think we'd heard a Smith song like that, really, that way. Girlfriend in a Coma, you know, another single. And
what,
I think
what a great title for a
I
single,
think
isn't
Girlfriend
it?
In a Coma.
How did they get away with that?
I know, I think that's the song, if there's ever somebody going to poke fun at the Smiths.
Oh, heaven knows I'm miserable now. Yeah, it's that type of stuff that's thrown at them, isn't it? That, well, this is just maudlin stuff. And I think people who say that are kind of missing the point of the humour, aren't they?
I agree.
I don't think they've really listened to the song, have they?
There's loads of times I listen to Smith songs and I'm like, you have a little laugh at the lyrics.
It's funny. It is funny. I mean, there's many a time when I've listened to a Smith's track and just burst out laughing.
I agree. Like, once you...
How witty he is. And it is those type of things that you lot are saying. It's like, I love you only slightly less than I used to.
Yeah, I love, like, I think Stop Me, if if you think you've heard this one before.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's an absolute Stone Cold classic, right? I absolutely love this song. Everything about it, the sound of it, the music, the lyrics, the singing, the humor. I can even stand that cover that Mark Ronson did. I think,
I'm not sure about that.
I'm all right. When I first heard it, I was affronted, but you know, I'm older now. I'm less volatile.
I just don't like Mark Ronson anyway. I'm not a fan of that.
I saw him DJ.
I saw him DJ one evening.
What he did was he just played his songs. That's no DJing, is it? Like playing a CD of your songs.
Is that all he does? Just DJing that and like rip off other people's songs.
And like he literally sample people. Just played like, oh, he has. I'm gonna play Uptown Funk. But he's just pressing play on his own song. Like didn't really understand it.
Well, anyway. That's perfect, isn't it? I mean, he's a chancer, isn't he? You know
absolutely. I mean, fair play. He's got a
fair play. He's one of the most richest musicians going at the moment.
And he was rich before he did anything. So.
But it's a great song. Have you heard Noel Gallagher's cover of this as well?
No, I don't think I have.
The acoustic one?
No, I don't think so. I might.
Oh, that's really good.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I just love that. Like, nothing's changed. I still love you. Only slightly less than I used to. You know what I mean?
Only slightly less than I used to.
I just love it. Nothing's changed. I still love you. Just a little bit less because you've disappointed us. I just think that's a great line. And then from there goes into Last Night, I Dreamt Somebody Loved Me, which again, I think...
This is great.
It harks back to that first song, right? That big intro of just like, you don't know what's coming. And then those big chords come in and it's a proper croon, isn't it? It's like a torch song or something.
It's a strange one, this one. I mean, I doubt very much that Morrissey's going to listen to this podcast. But he's going to hear what I'm going to say. It's a bit like a Bond song, I think.
It's got a little bit
of that in. Yeah, you know what I mean? So. And I think he'd definitely hear that, wouldn't he?
I think so, but again, I think like...
But he loves these 60s...
He loves all of that, you know, the John Barry orchestration and all of that kind of stuff. And I think this does do that, and again, testament to Johnny Marr for coming up with the music, but I really... It's not often I think Morrissey's a great singer, but there's some... phrases that he comes out with in some of the songs I think are superb, and I think and I love the way he sings this song.
I really like this one. There's like the weird start as well, isn't there, that goes on for a while. It's like I think it's the minor strike or something like that.
It takes a long time to kick in.
Just an interesting song.
And then I think it's your favorite Unhappy Birthday after this, and I have to admit after that it kind of loses a bit of potency for us after the last two songs.
Same for me. I always put a tick next to the ones that I like. Do you know what I mean? When I'm writing them out and stuff like that. And Paint a Vulgar Picture and Death at One's Elbow, I haven't put a tick next to.
Yeah.
I don't mind the last one, which is played on some kind of lute.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's a nice short song. I think there's not a lot of songs on this, and some of them are like 4, 5, 6 minutes. So that nice short song is quite light. I think it's a good juxtaposition with the rest of some of the longer, more ominous songs on it.
Interesting last day choice for a title, though. I won't share you, considering what happened. Going to court and about the money and stuff.
I know, and I think if you look at quite a lot of the lyrics on it, they're all... It seems like Morrissey kind of knew what was coming.
Do you think?
There's a lot about death and... this being over and all that kind of stuff. So I think the writing must have been on the wall for the band. Well,
he kept setting the managers and that, didn't he? And Johnny Marr to do it. I mean, Johnny Marr just wanted to concentrate on playing the guitar. Do you know what I mean?
That's one of the things.
Order buses and shit like that.
It's a bit like the Brian Epstein thing, isn't it? Like, you know, whether the manager was right, like Brian Epstein was the right manager for the Beatles, but whether they ever had the right manager, the Smiths, somebody did something right, because they ended up going from like nothing to being massive. So, you know, somebody was doing something. But that Joe Moss was the first guy that they had.
I think they just say they've did it on pure talent, haven't they? And, you know, that's Morrissey just got sick of all the managers. Apparently, he just wanted to tell the manager what to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is what your job is. This is what you want to do or whatever. And when that wasn't happening, he set them and just got Johnny Moore to do it, who obviously got pissed off.
Yeah, I mean,
you would?
I'd do it himself. Why is he getting Johnny Moore to do it?
Hey,
he's not bothered about it. Do it himself. But I think this is where the...
And then the final straw is Cilla Black, isn't it?
I mean, he's obsessed with all that stuff, isn't he? Like the Petula Clark and Cilla Black and Sandy Shaw. You know, he's obsessed with all these 60s.
It's like Oscar Wilde and literature and all kinds of influences, though, isn't there? Obviously Oscar Wilde's witticisms and stuff.
Yeah, I get that, but, you know, I get it. One thing, though, I always thought it was Elvis on the cover of this. I never really paid much attention to the picture.
Yeah, I did.
It was like a still of Elvis from one of his films or something, but it's not. It's just an actor who was in a James Dean film because he loves James Dean.
It's an actor. That's right. It's an actor called Richard Davalos who's looking at James Dean.
Yeah.
But James Dean's cropped out.
But also, how's he cropped out of it? It's like... Unless it's 3D, how's he cropped out? Because he's looking straight at the camera.
He's looking straight ahead, isn't he? But it's obviously zoomed right into his face. And James Dean's just been sitting. Yeah. So, but he wanted Harvey Keitel to be on this cover, but he didn't. Harvey Keitel refused.
Yeah. And then later on said it's all right. When it was far too late.
it's too late now. We still did it, didn't he? What do you think about the covers? The interesting covers.
I think in general, I really like them. The images, obviously, that's a very Morrissey thing. The images that they chose, these 60s kitchen sink dramas and all of that kind of stuff. These obviously a lot of young men on them, handsome young men and stuff like that. I think the images are great. Honestly, what I really dislike, I really hate the font on the cover of this. I hate it.
You turn into American Psycho, are you?
I just think it looks kind of wishy-washy and cheap. I don't know. I think the covers have got decent ideas most of the time. I think some of the pictures are great. I don't think this is the best album or record cover. Like, genuinely, I think this is probably the most creative Smith's album. I really like it.
Yeah, I really like it too. I'm glad I revisited it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Davey, even though you didn't bother turning
on. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, you absent man.
We got
thanks for your input.
Have we empty chaired him?
Yeah. Well, not really.
No, we haven't.
No. We just said, we only said he had the shits. I haven't done anything that bad, really. But yeah, it's a good album. Give it a listen. I'm sure lots of people love this one. Certainly, Morrissey and Johnny Moore think it's the best one as well, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do. Would you like a quiz?
Oh, I would indeed.
Well, this is a good quiz.
Mainly because your quizzes have improved rather drastically.
Okay, well, I think you like this one. It's called Zimbabwe Men.
Ooh, yes. I do like that. I guess one already? I know one person from Zimbabwe.
He's not in.
No, Bruce Grobler.
He's not in. I'm not bothered about him. He's a bad Zimbabwean.
Is he? He's a match fixing Zimbabwean.
Well, I think he was in like the Rhodesian army that killed a lot of actual Zimbabweans. So
but he match fixed.
Well, the higher of the crimes, of course. So I hope nobody thinks that this.
The integrity of the game's at stake.
I hope nobody thinks that this is poking fun at the Zimbabwean guys that we're going to mention, because we have a Zimbabwean nanny and she's very close to our heart, and we were talking about Zimbabwean football this morning, which is what put me onto this. So Zimbabwean men,
I wasn't talking about
Zimbabwean footballers with her.
With her?
I was like, Benjani, would you?
All right, okay. Would you? Groveler, do you like him with the tash or without? With the ponytail?
No, like, stop mentioning Groveler. He's not a good
man. Why? I'm allowed to say Groveler.
He's not a good man.
Right?
He's a murderer.
Well, that's all right.
He's a murderer, right?
Okay. Well, he's the only Zimbabwean man I know.
Okay, well, so, you know, like, Peter Unlove.
Is he from Zimbabwe?
Yes, so that's why you know him. And also, right. Marvelous Nakamba. You know him.
Oh, I do know him, because he's got the best name ever, hasn't he?
This is where we're going with this quiz. Are these real footballers' names true or false? All of these people are footballers. Or are they? You just got to tell me whether they're a real footballer or not. Number one.
So all of them are true footballers, or are they?
Yes.
Right.
That's the name of the quiz. So, Admiral Muskwe. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Footballer or not?
Admiral Muskwe.
And when I say footballer or not, the other ones aren't not footballers. I've just made the names up.
Right. Well, I'm going to say that is a real footballer.
Yeah.
Who plays for a team with a boat on the badge, possibly.
I'm not sure about the badge, but he is a real footballing man. So well done, Brett. You're off the mark.
Good. Do you know anything about the man?
No, there's too many names on this list for us to know anything about.
Right, okay.
Number two, Generous Nogombi.
Now, I think that you've made that up because you've gone with the Marvelous and you've gone with Generous. So I'm going to say not a real footballer, Mr. Generous.
Okay, well, you're right. That was a made up name.
Made up one from you. Mm-hmm. I thought it was.
Okay, number three. Laius, spelled L-I-Y-E-S. Laius Moyo. Laius Moyo.
Laius Moyo. I'm going to say no for Laius Moyo.
I think you're right. That is a false name. So well done. You've got 3 out of 3 so far. So you see.
I'm doing well at this, aren't I? Yeah, I'm doing very well.
Honest Moyo.
Oh, you see, you could be, you're trying to throw us here because you've gone with the Generous and now you're going honest, aren't you? I'll go yes with that one. I think you're trying to throw us off the scent.
You are correct. He is a real footballer. So well done. Wait,
these are great names, aren't they?
Oh, of course. Wonderful. That's what I'm saying. I'm certainly not taking the piss out of these guys.
Oh, no. I mean, if I was called, you know, Well Endowed Davidson, I'd love
that. You've spoiled one there. Number five, Gift Muzdaki.
Gift, I'd say yes, footballer.
Another correct answer, Brett. Number six.
I'm going to get 100%. Yeah.
You might do. Oh. Number six, Justice Majabvi.
Justice Majabvi. Well, I have heard of another footballer called Justice, I think.
All right. Okay. Zimbabwe.
So I don't think he was. I think he was Nigerian, this guy. Didn't he play for Watford or something?
I think you're thinking of Isaac.
I'm not sure, but I haven't heard of him. So. No, I'm sure there's another one called Justice. I'm going to say no to this one.
Oh, you've spoiled your 100% record. He is a real footballer.
God damn.
Don't worry. You've got 5 more chances.
I'm worrying now.
So this is a quiz of 11 questions. I'm not sure why. So next, we have Wisdom Mutasa.
Mutasa.
Wisdom Mutasa. Like
the Lion King.
It sounds like Mustafa, so, I know.
Doesn't it? It does sound like that. I'm going to say no.
Oh, he's a real man. He's a real man.
Oh, my God. I've blown it now, Cliff.
Right. Well, let's see if you've got 4 more chances to pull it back.
Right. If I get all these 4 right, you'll forget about the fact that I got the last 2 right.
Oh, yeah, of course. So let's see.
Good.
Teenage Hadebi.
Teenage
Hadebi.
I'm gonna go yes.
Yes, he's a real man. I also don't know how old he is.
He's just got to remain a teenager, hasn't he?
Yeah,
teenage.
I think so. So next up we have Old Johnson.
No, I'm not having Old Johnson. No, I'm sorry. Old Johnson. Definitely not. Old Man Johnson, who lives down the road.
Okay, yeah, yeah, right. Obviously, he's not real. So, we've got two more. Elvis Chipzizi.
I'll go yes. Yep. I like that Elvis.
Yes, Elvis Chipzizi is true. And the last one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're giving it away now, you. Aren't you?
Sorry.
You're
on.
Giving it away.
I'm not. False. I'm not. I might not be. I might just have the giggles. It might be nothing to do with this last name.
You might just have the giggles, but the last name. It's going to be a ridiculous name.
Is he a real footballer or is he not?
Okay. 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 I'm waiting for it. Are we?
All right. Sorry. Come and touch Phillips. What do you think? Come and touch, is he a real footballer?
I'll say no to this guy, to be perfectly honest with you.
Sadly, you're correct. Come and touch Phillips is not a real man.
Come and touch Phillips. He does have the come and touch. What is the come and touch? What is it?
We'll not real. We'll never find out. Right. So yeah, you've got like 10 out of 11 or something there, or 9 out of 11. So well done.
No, you said it. You said if I got all the last four right,
you got all them right. You got all them right.
Yeah, I got all them right.
And uh-huh. For that, we bestow you with the common touch.
I've always wanted the common touch. I know, well, I've always wanted to bestow the
far out of your grasp until now.
It has been. Do you have to touch us to give us the common touch?
I don't have to touch you. You have to touch. You have to touch the people poorer than you that you see. That's what.
That's all about. Rub against them.
Okay. Well, that was. I think you did very well there.
It was a top quality quiz.
Well, thank you very much. And let's just let's say again, I am pro those names and those people.
Indeed. They were all very good.
We've got some music.
We should praise their mothers, if anything.
We should. It's not really their choice, is it? But yeah, good on their mothers.
Good on their mothers.
Especially you Old Johnson's mom.
Old Lady Johnson.
So we've got music. It's music from a band we've had on before. Lines from a Poem. Mm-hmm. I like these guys. I'm happy to, whenever they bring a new song out, I'm happy to put them on. I really like them. This song's called California Sun. There are some chaps from Teesside, so who knows if they've ever really seen California Sun, but they do a good job of singing about it either way.
Some chaps from Teesside. Some leather chaps from Teesside.
Some lovely leather chaps. So lads from Teesside. Yeah, I really like them. Lines from a Poem, California Sun. Brett, it has been a pleasure. I'm sorry I started this topless. I got self-conscious throughout the recording and put the T-shirt on.
All cold.
Certainly not cold.
not cold.
But there was a lady just over here with a pair of binoculars, and I got a little bit self-conscious because of that. So this is Lines from a Poem with California Sun. Thank you so much. Please do follow, listen again, and all of that stuff. Next week, we'll be more prepared. Goodbye.
We'll try. We'll certainly try. We'll give it a shot. Goodbye.
Falling and out of love far too easily. Don't think it'll be enough to just dip my feet in. Some days I wonder if the night still follows her, 'cause I've falling on my knees, darling, begging you, please carry me home. Delete all the pictures in my phone. It's the hardest when it's cold, and I'm watching the West Coast. Goodbye, California sun, and everything that's gone. I'll meet you on the east side when you're done. Goodbye, California sun, and everything that's gone. I'll meet you on the east side when you're done. Never thought I'd ever be spending my time feeling nostalgic by the sea, living in the archives of images in my head, replayed just before bed. And a flicker of red makes me feel alone, but please just take me home. Delete all the pictures in my phone. It's the hardest when it's cold, and I'm watching the West Coast. Everything that's gone, I'll meet you on the east side when you're done. Goodbye, California sun, and everything that's gone, I'll meet you on the east side when you're done. Goodbye, California sun, and everything that's gone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.